Wow. Interesting study.
No, I don't know where they got that. I'd like to discuss that. I don't think he's made. I don't think he has. I think they have.
This is this is done by University of Pennsylvania sociologists.
I'm just going to get them off. That's a pretty.
They went in expecting to find the exact opposite.
Right. And
that's not what they found.
I don't think that's right. I don't think President Trump has. I will do that on air. Good morning. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Would you be mine? Oh, we've got to find it. We've got to figure out a way to make my show like Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood. That is so me.
Well, we could have Jeff write a song.
That's just so me.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful day. Oh yeah, we gotta do it. I'm such a kid.
I like the rainbow song myself. Rainbow Connection.
That's not on Mr. Gobbins' Neighborhood.
No, but it's still in that ilk.
Oh. Wait until I talk about the invasion of automation today.
Okay.
It's not on the list, but it's on there.
We'll pretend it's on there.
It's on there.
This is amazing. I'm reading this thing. Holy smokes!
What's the name of the article?
It's on Breitbart. Academic study shows Donald Trump has made America less racist.
No.
And this is pretty detailed, so it's interesting. Americans of all stripes are living together with a lot less tension than we had under the community organizer Ray's Reverend Wright's racist.
We're gonna do this.
Okay.
That's gonna be good. Okay.
I'm not sure it's translating to politics, but
that's okay. That's okay. You know, good listening is better than good talking.
Yeah, that's right.
I got one of the greatest compliments yesterday. Somebody came to me and I was talking to him about coffee. He says, "You're Tracy Winbush. I love your show." And I'm like, "Well, you?" I said, "We're new." He said, "I listen every day." I'm like, "Oh, okay. You know where we're on? We're doing good. This is good." I love that guy. I do. We didn't pray today. We didn't pray, but I've been praying all morning. I'll do that on live when we get there. Bless us in Jesus' name.
I was praying to get your internet connection.
Hey, that's what I'm saying. Good morning. morning, and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WHKZ AM 1440 and on Facebook Live at TracyandFriends.com. You're probably watching because that shifting right to live. Hey, this is Mark Manji. We're brought to you by Window World of Youngstown for replacement windows. You want to call 1-800-NEXT-WINDOW. Tell the Moran family that the Windbush folks sent you there. Hey, guys, listen here. Let me tell you something. We normally pray before we get, we try to remember to pray before we come on. So I've been up all morning. Mark, this morning I have gone to my storage unit, cleaned some stuff out, put some stuff in, put the glass on the tables, had a meeting, took a shower, changed three times.
Watched
the pooch. Oh, absolutely. Got to watch. There's no more letting the pooch out on her own right now. So she has had to get walked. I've done that. I come in here. All I want to do is flip on a switch. Boop. And we're done. You know, I get here because usually I try to get here a little early. I haven't even made my coffee yet.
Yeah.
All I want to do is flip on a switch. And so I was saying we normally pray. But this morning, I've been praying all morning since I walked in the door. I wake up in the morning with a prayer on my heart, but this morning, I walk in, and I go to flip on switches, and nothing comes up.
That's a scary thing when that happens.
And everything we do is connected to the internet. We stream live. We stream here. We go there. So I call the business line of the company that we pay the car note to. Because let me explain something to you. Home cable, business cable, totally different packages. Business is not that you don't get the $49 special. And what you see on TV, they lie.
Yeah.
You know they lie. It's nowhere near $49. So I come in, and they put me on hold. And they tell me we have a large amount of calls. You want to call back?
did they play enjoyable music?
No,
no. No elevator. No girl from Ipanema. No bossa nova. Nothing like that coming through the ears, but kind of calm you down.
The music that they play, and I think this is the point that I think everyone has, Mark. The music they play on the phone, it's bad.
Yeah, you're right.
You want me to calm down, you need to play something that's going to be encouraging. You need to, you know, go back to Stereo 99.
Yeah.
They need to go back to that.
The Weather Channel music, but the Weather Channel stopped the Weather Channel music.
No, they need to go back to Stereo 99. Remember Stereo 99?
I remember Stereo 99.
They need to go back to that for the music that you wait to.
Yeah, elevator music.
Less than that.
Yeah.
Because you need to put the motion, you need to talk about Jesus or something,
yeah,
right
but
there
but
in the middle.
In all fairness, you're only on hold for about 10 minutes, which isn't bad.
That was today.
Yeah.
But sometimes you get on hold and it's like indefinite hold. You can go from here to, you know, California and be on hold, and sometimes you have to be on hold.
Yeah.
10 minutes to me was a long time. Especially when I'm
11 o'clock. Yeah, yeah.
When I'm bouncing up against a deadline.
Yeah.
And they need to understand when people are in business, we have enough stresses in our world. That's the music right there.
Yeah.
Yes. They need to go back to that. They need to go back to Doris Day.
I wrote a poem about that. It's called The Unintentional Pause.
Why does it say, why do you sound like you're getting ready to go, you want to hear it, here it goes?
No, I don't. I'd have to look it up. And I don't have it in front of me, but I
you're
did write a poem about
no.
The Unintentional Pause.
That's the music, yeah. That's the music I need to hear.
And, you know, sometimes you get those pauses. And, you know, and there's something good you learn from that.
What is it?
You learn, you know, that next time how you have to do your modems in order when you go to reception.
I didn't learn anything from that.
Well, you didn't do it the first time.
I didn't learn anything from that.
Well, next time it goes down, you know what?
I didn't learn anything from that. I learned that I had to be on hold. I learned that I was up against a deadline. And I learned that I have to pray all the way through.
Yeah.
And the guy was really nice.
Oh, he was a nice guy.
And then he told me they're going to call me in 15 minutes. The phone's going to ring, and they're going to ask me, will I take a survey?
Yeah.
And the survey is, play some better music.
Well, I had a good morning.
I had a good morning. That wasn't a bad morning.
I was able to buy two cookies and a cup of coffee for $3.
You did? Well, thank you. And they brought me a cookie. Thank
three
you.
$3. That's pretty good.
Not when you can buy. Oh.
And they're good cookies. I'm going to get some more. For that price, I'm buying some to take home.
No, Mark. No, that's why you go to the grocery aisle, get some cookies, and put in the oven.
Oh, no. I found my new manna from heaven.
What's that?
They're frosted animal crackers from Keebler.
Mark, that is not healthy.
I like animal crackers. You like animal crackers? I buy the
same jar. I'm behaving, Mark. You're not understanding. I am a true American.
Yeah.
And I have addictive behaviors.
My addictive behavior led to about a half a pound of chocolate covered nuts last night.
So, you know, I've lost some weight.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to keep
looking
my weight
good.
Down. Thank you. I appreciate
looking
it.
Good.
I'm looking great. I feel good. I'm doing stairs. I'm running. I'm doing double stairs. I feel good. I still have addictive behaviors. So, yesterday I had to go to Walmart. You know, I'm not a Walmart girl. I don't like Walmart.
You're not a Walmart person?
No.
I go to Walmart
looking like I go to Walmart, too, because it's a Sunday night, and I have to go because Pooch has to have food, and I laid around all day long, didn't go out, and realized there's no food for the Pooch for Monday morning, and nothing is open after 9 o'clock, so I have to go to Walmart, and I look like Walmart.
Which one did you go to?
Oh, went to Walmart Boardman.
Boardman, okay.
Went to Walmart Boardman, and I go in.
They have one in Liberty now, too, don't they?
I know,
okay.
But I'm in the middle.
Yeah, you're in the middle.
I'm right in the middle
Walmart's
downtown.
Walmart's to the left of me, Walmart's to the right of me.
All I know is I need dog food. I go in and I buy Reese cup.
Uh-oh. That's bad. That's bad.
Mark, you know what they've done. Have you seen the new Reese cups?
Oh, I've seen, yeah.
They used to be big.
They're not even wrapped. Well, the big ones are now small ones, and the small ones are so small they don't wrap them anymore.
I don't know what it is, but they're not big at all.
They're cupettes. The Reese cupettes.
Pretty much. That's a good word. The cupettes. And so I am. I like mine chilled.
Yeah.
So I put them in the refrigerator.
Me too.
So I put them in the refrigerator, and then I have the exercise-itis.
Yeah.
Get out the chair, walk to the refrigerator, pick up two, walk back, because you know Reese cups come in pairs.
Yeah.
By the time I get done, I have eaten.
Reese's cups are dangerous. I can eat them unendingly. So I tell Ginger, don't buy them because I'll eat them and they'll be gone.
But see, what happened when I was in school, they used to make them.
Yeah.
They had these little peanut butter bars with the chocolate on top.
Yeah.
And we got them on Friday with pizza.
Well, they're like Buckeyes. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
They're like Buckeyes.
That's all they are.
That's it. Those chocolate-covered peanut butter fondant. It's wonderful.
Oh.
I went to church on Sunday, and after church,
you have Buckeye.
After church, we have coffee hour, and the ladies of our church usually, you know, you can have lunch there sometimes, and somebody brought in these bags of frosted animal crackers.
Oh
my goodness. I couldn't stop eating them.
I'm saying,
they're completely covered in frosting.
Those are not on the diet.
And I said to our church administrator, I said, well, where did you get these? He says, oh, they're Keebler. You get them by the cracker things over there. And I looked them up, and you can buy them by the big box.
No, Mark. We're dieting. We're healthy now. We're eating healthy. We're not eating any fast food. Listen, I think the conservatives need to start a new movement.
Yeah.
We're on the eat right, eat healthy move. We're gonna switch places with the Dems.
Well,
so, who was it? Bloomberg told them that they can't have sodas. Who was it? Michelle Obama said they can't have French fries.
Yeah.
So,
what's if his Blasio says we can't have meat on Monday or Friday?
See? Wait. So we got no meat on Monday or Friday. So we're gonna go on the. I love sugar day.
No, this is the progressive diet, because these are all the progressives that are telling us what to eat and what not to eat. We're going to have the liberal progressive diet.
Mark, let me say this, and I'm bantering right now, but what is going on in America right now? We laugh, I joke, but I really want you to understand. I'm the seriousness of the crazy music in your ear when you're on hold. We wonder why people are on edge.
Well, people, you know,
Mark,
Kirstie,
I'm serious. I'm serious. You go to the store and all you want to do is buy a Snickers, and they make you make so many decisions to buy one Snicker bar.
Yeah.
All I want is a Snicker. Give me some change.
You can't do it. Do you want to give a dollar for the deaf people?
That's what I'm saying. All these distractions,
what?
All this noise that's going on outside of us, all is making people really mean.
You know, when I get my emails, so I looked at my emails today. I got an email saying I have an overdue bill for my electricity on my bank account.
I'll be right back. We'll get to overdue. You listen to Tracy and Friends here on WHKZ AM 1440. The call-in number here is 516-595-8258. We'll be right back. Mark, I am in the storage unit trying to use the freight elevator. And I'm pretty savvy. I'm pretty good. You know, don't let the nails and the lipstick fool you. I'm pretty good at what I do. So I am trying to bring the buzzer to bring the elevator up. The elevator's not moving. Beep! And it's got this loud bell. Freight elevator, old building. Okay, I said, well, let me look on the little marquee, find out where are the stairs. So I take the stairs down. The stairs goes down into this abyss. This is talking about the U-Haul over here on Glenwood.
Yeah.
It's this open building of nothing, and there's no stairs going down to the ground floor. It only goes to the second floor with no points going anywhere. And this is in the morning. You know, I'm the only one in the building.
Yeah.
They got cameras. I don't. So I have to go back upstairs. I never figured out how to get to the ground floor.
What was the elevator work?
I don't know. All I know was people that have stuff in storage, a lot of times there's a lot of frustrating things going on in their life. People want their money on time. They want you to jump through hoops. But when you need them, they're not there.
Yep.
So when you come back, it's overdue. There's no courtesies?
No. You're preaching to the choir. I tell you, it's frustrating. It appears...
Hold on. Well, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WHKZ AM 1440, and it is, and we want you to call in, 516-595-8258, call in, join the conversation. We're just having a conversation. We're going to get to some things that are probably itching that Mark brought up, but this is serious for me.
This is serious.
Because people are overwhelmed, they just want – life used to be so simple then.
You've got people there was an old Dionne Warwick song. There's always something there to remind me. No matter where you go, there's somebody telling you to do something or something's not working. It's one of the two.
You can't unplug.
And so when I said, look at my email this morning, all right, I have an overdue thing at the bank. I have a credit card payment due. I have a doctor's appointment due. I'm supposed to go in for a blood test. You got to do this. You got to do that. File this. Don't file that. Here's a reminder from the attorney general. And I'm looking at all this stuff. And by the time it's through, all I want to do is throw the phone at the wall and say, leave me alone.
You know what? When do you sit on the porch? I think that's why, because I'm not a fisher person. I'm me going fishing just not, it's for the birds. But when do you sit on the porch and just sit?
I don't want to use the name, but if you belong to a certain credit monitoring system,
all of them.
Oh my God! Somebody charged something on this account over there, and your credit score has gone up, and there's been an inquiry. This goes every day.
Mark, that's if you got it. Those people are like, we're trying to hold on to credit. I'm trying to keep. I hold on to credit like a cat holds on, trying to drop not drop in the water. I'm just trying to get my credit. You know, I'm holding on, trying to get it right, trying to hold on, trying to do the right thing. And it's like when you cut a sister a break.
Yeah. And there's no break, and it's everywhere.
It's stupid.
And, you know, you wonder why people go crazy and do nutty things. I'm surprised it's not worse than it is. This is not a good time.
But that's what I'm saying. And there's no God. There's no peace. There's no civility. There's no respect. And I'm looking, and these machines. I hate to sound like this, but these machines are taking over.
So I've got a really good friend of mine who is an older woman, and she.
I thought you were old.
Well, she's older.
I'm sorry.
This body says 69, but my brain says 25.
I'm sorry. I mean, there was an opening there that I just had to have.
Yeah,
nothing personal.
Well, she's younger than me, actually.
I just checked.
But, she's in her upper 60s, and she is totally disconnected. And that's, you know, and I feel sorry for this lady because she can't interact in the world. And then I'm wondering, she's probably a lot happier than most people I know because she's not, you know.
What I'm saying is there has to be balance. And the Bible says that an unjust balance is an abomination unto the Lord, but a just balance is his delight. We need to be balanced in what we do. And we need demand balance in our government as well as in our interactions with society. Because when I say this, uniformity of credit card machines needs to happen. This is not rocket science, guys. But I have a problem that I have to remember which button to hit depending on which store I'm at based upon who's got red, who's got yellow, who's got green, and who's got blue. There's nothing wrong saying red is a standard color for me to want to use a credit card, and green is a standard color for me to say that I want to use my debit card.
Yeah.
Come on. I don't think there should be – if you want to have an overwhelming blanket program that says you can give your change to a nonprofit, you know, if you want to round up your change to give to a nonprofit. If you want to do that, I have no problem with that. But asking me all these questions to check out, when I call to ask you one question about my internet, I've got to remember the phone number, the zip code, the last four digits of my cell phone number, and then I've got to remember the – come on.
So I shared with you that I had a loan refused.
Yes.
Okay. I went to get a consolidation loan. And the total amount of debt that I wanted to have consolidated was 10% of my net worth. Okay? So
what is the problem?
So what's the problem? The problem is they couldn't fit me into a slot. I had perfect – I don't know if my credit was perfect, but, you know, it was – you know.
It went 450.
It was mid 700s.
That's a good.
That's a good score.
That's a good score.
And,
good score.
And you know.
Oh, they have a score for 750.
Yeah. So okay. And they what I ended up dealing with was a bunch of basically computer geeks trying to fit my
an algorithm.
Stuff. Yeah, trying to fit it into a that couldn't handle it. So I did something bad. I sent an overnight certified letter to the president of the company yesterday, and I spelled it out for him. I said, if you can't loan money to me, who the are you going to loan it to? Here's my balance.
They can't get insurance on you.
You know, and you know.
And you're uninsurable.
I'm uninsurable because I'm pushing 70.
No. You're uninsurable for the bank. You see, you have to understand, from my understanding, and maybe we'll get somebody on here to explain this, my understanding is all loans are insured.
Oh no! Yeah, they
and so you have to understand
Dodd-Frank.
Okay, so these loans that are insured, there are those. You see, you are no risk. They need a little bit of risk because they make money on risk.
Yeah. They sell the paper.
That's
and
right.
In order to sell the paper, they have to meet certain criteria. And if you know the way that my assets are, you know, the total dollar volume doesn't make any difference to them because they can't fit it into their risk.
The problem is they're not going to make any money off of you, and you are no and you we don't.
Oh
need
no,
you.
Tracy, they're going to make plenty.
No, no.
Oh yes, ma'am. I'll tell you off the
why
air.
Why is that?
What, because they charge a fee to do this.
No. Listen to what I'm saying.
And that's wait, no, $1,500.
No. But listen to what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Long term, people with good credit. The better the credit, the less money they make. One, your interest rate is lower. Then, if you look at, I'm just telling you from their side.
Yeah.
The business rate is your interest rate is lower. You're more often going to fast track your payments. so that the interest that they were going to make is even lower than that. And if by chance anything should happen, you're going to pay them off too early, and they're not going to get their money out of you.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though. You know, this particular company doesn't make its money by lending it. They make its money by packaging loans, and then they sell them. This company
okay.
would not. This company would not be carrying the mortgage on,
oh, okay.
on my house. They package these mortgages and then they sell them, and they make their money off of the finder's fee. I did this. I got a cold call from a guy, and I don't want to say it was a cold call because when I refinanced my house, I went through one of the things. I'm going to try this online. I went through one of them, and he's been calling me every month for 4 years now, and I've gotten to know him. You know, I said, "Oh, it's Marcus again. Hey, how you doing?" And I said, "All right, let's do it this time." So they take this and they package it. Then they sell this package of debt, and they have to have. And Dodd-Frank tells them, "Here's what the criteria are."
Right.
And they can't fit me into a slot.
So, and what I'm saying is the slot that they can't fit you in, they can't make any money on you because you don't fit inside of the
well, –
because
they
if they're packaging these.
So
nobody wants to buy you.
So, right. So
you are useless.
Yeah, let's talk about condominiums.
Okay.
Let's say that there is a 10-unit condominium development.
Right.
Okay. And if more than 20% of that 10-unit condominium development – two units,
right.
okay, is rented out, nobody in that condominium development is going to be able to get a loan on their condominium, and anybody buying one of those condominiums is not going to be able to buy one because you're only allowed to have, under the rules and guidelines, 20% rentals.
Right.
Now, I have a fourplex condominium.
Right.
Okay. Now all my assets are in condominiums
right
now. Okay, so I have problems when I go to the banks and I'm doing these things. I can't get a loan, but I have a fourplex condominium in which I own three of the units. The fourth one
right.
is owned by somebody else. That lady, that condominium has sold three times.
Right.
In violation of every single rule there is
okay.
by using a local bank who decides to carry the paper themselves as opposed to sell it.
Okay.
Now, that's not right.
Why not?
Well, because I've been trying to buy that fourth. You know,
she doesn't want you to buy it.
She doesn't want me to
she
buy
doesn't
it.
She doesn't want you to buy it.
She went and bought it. She goes to a local bank, should go nameless, and they loan her the money. And I know that,
that
they can't sell that. And so that's the bank I'm going to now. I'm going to go to that
Mark,
bank and say,
Come back to me. You've gone off somewhere else. Jeez, oh, man. You've gone off on a I was talking about.
Well, only Jeff could go off on a tangent.
No. No, you've gone somewhere else. Come back. I'm just saying people need to wake up and start making people and making the laws. The laws are supposed to make things easier for people, and right now everything that they're doing is making everything more complex for everyone.
Move back to what
standardization is not a bad idea.
Look at the list over there. You're talking about going to a place with quiet, you know,
quiet
in dealing with things and setting aside to deal with stuff.
You're going to have to. We're going to have to simplify this life.
It's not going to get simplified. It's hard.
Our children cannot continue on this trajectory. It won't work for them because we didn't put the mechanisms in, the coping mechanisms in for our younger generations. I don't have what my parents had.
No.
Our kids don't have what we have.
No.
The question is, are these grandkids coming up? We're going to have to calm this down because if we are here at this point, where will they be at theirs?
Yeah, they
that's not healthy. That's not good, healthy for mental stability.
Yeah, to deal with this sort of thing, it's tough. They expect instantaneous results all the time. It don't work that way.
You know that. I know that. They're learning that, but by the time they figure it out, how many knocks on the head will they have had to get?
And they've got no foundation on which to build that kind of a life.
So it is our responsibility to make the changes so that they don't have to make the decisions tomorrow. We'll be right back. Mark, I'm going to talk about you today.
Make the changes so that they don't have to make the decisions tomorrow.
But it's bad. It's bad. It's just too hard.
Oh, my. You had a day like mine. We were up at 5 o'clock. You start a day like that, and you're doing your stuff by 9 o'clock, and you put 4 hours in, and you're ready to go to bed.
That's
the day is just starting.
I was by 9 o'clock. I was already out in the storage unit, putting stuff back in.
Yeah. You know, this past 2 weeks, I've learned a lot, and I'm trying to just.
But can you imagine
myself better? Because you know what? If I've got 5 healthy good years left, I'm lucky.
You got 5 healthy good years left.
And.
You got 5 healthy good years left.
Spend some time with my pooch. Who's one of the kennels of the first?
You told me. When are you leaving?
We're Monday. We're going to be gone Monday. More of a
Memorial Day. Are you coming back Tuesday?
Yeah. No, well, I'll be back here Monday night.
You know, you want me to keep it?
No. Okay.
Okay. But listen.
I want him to get used to doing that.
Oh, and I wanted to ask you if you ever want to bring Vinny in.
Yeah. I should have brought him in this morning. I think
they'll get along well. You can always bring Vinny in, and then when you go on, you can always, especially for a day trip. Mark, walk one, walk two. You know.
I want him to get used to being in kennels. We can go some places.
Every now and then.
We've been at it for almost 2 years, and he's got to get used to that. So and now we're going to drop him off at 9 and pick him up at 6, and get him used to it. And then maybe once a week, take him there just for a little bit to get acclimated.
Doggy daycare.
Doggy daycare.
Yeah.
So we can do some things this fall when Ginger settles down.
Yeah, she's not going to settle down.
She's an Akron today.
She's a busy woman.
I'm going to retire and go work for her.
Hey, Josh. I'll tell you tomorrow. Oh, are we off Monday? Okay, just making sure.
You are?
Yes.
So don't feel bad about being here.
No, I just wanted to make sure I don't, because you know I do show up at work and nobody's there but me.
I'll call in if that's.
Just wanted to make sure. Hey Mark, hand me that remote, please. Hand me that. Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WHKZ AM 1440. Got Mark Mangi in studio with me. I'm Tracy Winbush, and we're brought to you by Window World of Youngstown. I can't wait to bring the Moran family in with me, and maybe I could get all of them in all at one time so you can meet this great family.
That'd be a lot of fun.
It would, to tell the stories, to hear the stories and hear Fred tell the stories and hear Lucy.
Lucy is just
amazing.
What an amazing lady.
What
amazing.
Oh, my God. And people just don't understand. There are some quiet thunders out there when it comes to women. And, Mark, I'm going somewhere with this. You know, usually, you know, I'm a conservative, and I'm an old-fashioned girl. And so I believe that men are to be the head of the household. I just do. And that we are the support. That's just what I believe. And I see these women who have supported these men. So I see a Lucy Moran who has been there for and raised the children. And the children are great young people. Well, I guess they're not young anymore. I guess Lucy's kids aren't young anymore.
No,
they're all grown.
They've all grown.
But they're great young people, and they have new families, and they're raising children again, and seeing the generations of it, and watching how these people interact now that they're older. So I was with a family on yesterday, and they're going to remain nameless for right now. And he was a physician. I'm going to give his name out. His name is Dr. Sadie, and he was a cardiologist, I believe. And he spent a lot of time away from home. And yesterday I had a meeting with he and his wife and his son. And he said, now, I said, how do you like retirement? He said, now I have time to spend time with my wife that I never had a chance to spend time with because I was out working. And so she had to, you know, they're older now because, you know, their children are my age. And she wanted to go to the restroom. And you know, we as age goes on, we're not as strong as we used to be. And I saw her walk. I saw him walk her through the restroom and wait for her. And I said, "Wow, that's what you want." You don't. I mean, because marriage is hard and life is hard. And I'm going to get to this comment that or this article that Mark brought up. But life is hard. And Mark, you and Ginger have been married a long time. Jeff and Cheryl have been married a long time, and so has Styx and Paul.
Yeah, for 47 years for us this November.
But when you look at the relationships, the highs and lows, you want to have that person that walks you to the potty to make sure you're okay when you're old and gray. I mean, when you think about it. And I think today women have asked for so much because today's women want it all. We want to burn bras. We want to – the feminist movement, we want to do it all. And you can't have it all and then get to the end of your life and you're going to have something. Because I was out the other day and I saw a bunch of professional women hanging together. And you walk to the toilet on your own. And that's what they are looking for now. But when you get older, you want somebody to walk with you usually.
Yeah, I don't
know. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. You know, I put it in terms the other day. I wrote an article. I put it on Shifting Right. It was a more personal article. I put it on my Facebook page about at what point in time – and there was a relation to our good friend Dave who retired.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And when do you know – that the race is finished? You know, there was a song by Frank Sinatra called That's Life.
Yes.
And one of the lines was, "Each time I find myself flat on my face, I just pick myself up and get back in the race." And that's really good advice.
It really is.
But you reach a certain point in life where you don't really want to do that because maybe the race you're going after is a little bit different race. I was at a wedding
on last Friday night.
It was one of the members of our church, son and daughter got married, and we had our we have a retired minister there. He's 93 and she is 90. He just had his knees operated on last January.
Wow.
And I watched these two dance.
That's what I'm saying.
In each other's arms. And I took a picture of it and I put it on Facebook. And I said, that's the race at my age that you want to be in as opposed to the rat race. Because you know what? I finished up okay. I don't need to
race. That's what I'm saying.
Anymore.
I'm looking at these, you know, look at the floods and the tornadoes and the weather and the way things are going and how God has designed a life. And if you can have peace of mind at the end of the day and nobody's in the hospital and your kid's all right and nobody is on, you know, psychotropic drugs, you know, life's a good day.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, people just don't seem – I was dealing with in my business a lot of people who are 10 years younger than me, and 10 years makes a big, big difference.
10 years doesn't make a big difference,
Mark. It does, but at certain times in your life it does. There's a big difference between 15 and 25.
Yes.
And then as you get to middle age, those become a little bit less.
When's the next leap? Because right now I'm at 55, and I think.
Well, how old are you?
I'll be 55 in December.
I think and it's going the other way right now. Right now there's a big difference between 60 and 70.
Is there?
Yeah, because 60 you're still young enough to want to pursue your career. 70, not so much anymore. You know, because and I think that's kind of.
I just want to retire, Mark. All my friends are retiring. I get old people as friends.
Yeah.
And they're all retiring, and I want to go play with my friends. Can I do that?
Well, why not?
Because.
Now, you know, it's one thing, like, if you do things that you like the fun. But it's another thing to pursue. You know, you've got to reach a point in time where you say, you know what? I've accomplished a lot. I'm happy with what I've accomplished. Am I going to make a gazillion dollars? No.
But now's the time to spend some time with your family.
Okay. I got my mom and my dog.
Yeah. And your friends. You've got good friends.
Who?
You got me, Jeff, Sticks.
You guys are old people. Hey, listen, Mark, you brought this article up. I do. I have some of the best. I have some of the most amazing friends anyone in the world could ask for across this globe. I have been blessed to have amazing, amazing, amazing friends from all walks of life. And you know what makes my life so great, Mark?
What's that?
They're diverse.
Yeah.
My world is so diverse.
That's a good thing.
And it is so remarkable. I am so very, very blessed. Hey, listen, you brought this article up. We've got about 10 minutes, Mark.
Yes, ma'am.
The article says that Trump has made America less racist.
We're going to go there. I got to pull it up now.
No, you don't have to go there. I want you. Do you really believe that?
You really want to know?
Okay, I want to know what you think, and before I tell you what I'm thinking.
I think the article said that racism has declined under Trump. That was the premise of the article. It was a study done by two professors at the University of Pennsylvania. And the basic premise is while Obama was president, it got better. But what they were surprised to find out that once Trump became president, the improvement skyrocketed. And it was equally between both parties, the Democrat and the Republican parties.
Let me say this. I think President Trump is a exposer. He is the king of exposing people to what they need to see. He didn't create any of this, nor has things happened because of him, because of him doing anything. It has just been because of him. So Trump has not made America less race, but because of him, people are less racist. And when I say this, because they weren't racist in the beginning. They've just exposed themselves as less racist, because what I'm thinking of, racism in America is not as big as people think. I am so tired of watching them portray that every time I go to a fundraiser, I have to close my ears because I'm black, because there's black jokes and feminist jokes and things that are off color, because that's what Republicans do. That is so far from the truth, and I am so tired of people going out and making it act like that these – I go to a Ku Klux Klan meeting every time I go to a fundraiser. That's not what happens. Now, don't get me wrong. Out of maybe the 550 people we had at the Lincoln Day dinner, there was about five folks in there that I could have punted across the goal line just because of who they are, not because they're racist. They're just horses patoots, period. They're racist with everybody. And there's some people in there that don't like black people, but there's some people in there that don't like anybody. They hate everybody. Am I lying?
No, you're not lying at all.
But did President Trump – the problem that I have is people want to tell me President Trump is racist. Therein lies the problem. He hasn't made America less racist. America is not as racist as they want you to think it is. They only want you to think it's racist in the gubernatorial and the presidential elections.
Yeah, and then that's the point. That was the surprise that the professors found in that study, is that the conclusion they came to was exactly what you said.
And guess what? I did not read the article. I've been trying to tell them this forever, so I need to print the article to go prove to them this is what I'm trying to tell you. It's not real, because my world could not be as diverse as it is if it was.
That when you get down into when you get away from the top echelon of these the political issues, you get down to where the people are living. People live together pretty well these days. I don't think it's as good as they say it is, because I know people who. And
that's Youngstown.
Things, you know.
That's Youngstown.
Yeah.
Youngstown's different. Because in larger cities and bigger and other places, and again, Youngstown is different. Youngstown is still we breed our own problems. We cultivate them here because we like it here, because we're just like a messy Mayberry RSD. We like it like this.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But outside of our little cocoon, the world is not like this, because people, again, are – when I look at – more people are ignorant than racist. Here, we use anything for power. Mahoning Valley, that's our biggest problem. We don't like outsiders because we don't want to share anything with anyone else. It's like a big family here.
Yeah, and it's tough for outsiders to break in.
That's correct.
Here. There's two different groups of people, the people that have lived here and the people who have moved here, and they don't.
That's correct. And
they don't go back and forth.
And we like things the way they are. So we elect people in Poland so that they'll keep Poland Village the way Poland Village is. And when you don't have economic development and you don't have anything coming in, you don't have sustainability, so you get mad when your property taxes go up because you can't sustain the schools because you don't have any infrastructure. That's what's going on.
Yeah, but the and a lot of it, I think, it has to do with just generational thing. Generations are growing up. Every 10 years, there's new people coming into this. And the younger you get, racism disappears a little bit more with each generation. And how my parents felt are different than how I felt, and I'm different than how my son feels.
When we come back, I want to touch on that, because I'm finding out the older the person, the less racist they are.
Well, that'll be interesting.
We'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WHKZ AM 1440, brought to you by Window World of Youngstown. We'll see you on the other side of my break.
Ginger's home from Akron.
Mark. Tom, Josh is playing That's Life. That's Life.
What do I have to buy so I can tap into Josh over there to make that thing work? How much does the board cost that we need to do that? Because this is no fun not hearing the music.
Oh, you've missed a whole day in my ear. Mark, I'll get this together. I've got to sit down. I don't, because I've got to hook up this machine. I need to reconfigure this, and I have not taken the time to do that. But Josh is on his job. Definitely on his job. He is in the ear on his job.
And I'm real serious. I said, Ginger, she looked at that. She says, Mark, you're giving up. I said, no, I'm not giving up.
It wasn't meant.
I just need to move on, you know, and do some stuff. I like doing this, get our stuff going down here.
We're
going to
do some things.
And I'm good at that sort of thing.
We're going to do some things. How's the kid doing?
He's great. I think I see him once a week these days. He's so busy running around. He usually comes over to our house for dinner on Thursday nights, and then every other week on Sundays, Jen comes.
Ask Ginger if she has a good biscuit recipe.
I will ask her.
I need a good old fashioned beef stew biscuit.
Beef stew?
Beef stew biscuit.
Okay.
I need a good beef stew also.
Yeah, you need to put the stew on the biscuit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I need a beef stew biscuit. I gotta go eat or something.
Don't you do the biscuits on top of the beef stew?
No.
You cook the stew and then you
No. We do the stew and then we do the biscuits.
Right,
and then you put the biscuit on top of the stew.
On top, okay.
I need a good beef stew right now. God, that sounds good.
I'll Ginger has a recipe. I don't know if she's written down. Because she uses a lot of wine in her stew.
No problem. We're back.
So wine and stew's okay?
Yes.
We're back. Okay.
We're back. Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WHKZ.
Now you made me hungry. I'm going to have a fajitas for dinner, and I'm going to say, Ginger, I need stew.
We're brought to you by Window World of Youngstown. for replacement windows, listen, give the Moran family a call. They are a great group of people, a great family, and they do great business here in the Mahoning Valley. They've been here a long time. They're a long time. They will be here for generations. More of God says the same. And you want to call 1-800-NEXT-WINDOW and tell them Tracy sent you. Mark, I'm trying to tell you, I need a beef stew and biscuit.
Ginger will send you one. I'll do that. She made up her own stew recipe as she goes along, but it's really, really good. She uses a wine in it called Crush. And I'm trying to think what company makes it. It's relatively sweet, actually, and it's so good.
I just need a good beef stew and a biscuit.
And you put the
I need a beef stew and a biscuit. Does anybody know of a good place that you can go buy beef stew? I haven't seen beef stew on a menu ever.
They call it different things. So I go to the place by where I live for beef tips every Thursday night.
No, beef stew that has potatoes and has everything in it, and then you put it on top of the biscuit, and then that's it's really funny.
But Tracy, why are you hungry for that when it's going to be 83 degrees tomorrow? That's a good fall dish, stew.
Because I didn't get it during the fall. That's why.
I mean, that's comfort food. I love.
I like comfort. I love comfort. Comfort is good. People should like comfort. That's what's wrong with them. I mean, do you remember the times? And I said I was going to get to this about racism.
Yeah.
During the time of when my mom's era.
Yes.
There was a lot of prejudice, more so than racism. There were ignorances based upon the society that we were living in. So when I look at people who are in their 80s right now and older, the dementia will take them to say some things that are off color because of the era that they were raised in. But the heart of racism and trying to keep you down is no longer there.
Well, I'll agree with that.
Racism is about status and keeping you down and not letting you elevate. There's more racism within the people who are anywhere from 45 to 65 because that's that competitive edge group.
Yeah.
That are in the end of that baby boomer. They're the competitive baby boomers.
Yeah.
That have come out, and that's where the racism is pretty much seen. Sporadically.
Really?
Because the young kids don't care. And the old people, they were living in a time that they had no choice. But that mid-level 45 to 65, you're looking at a competitive edge because now they're looking at retirement. They're looking at their kids all messed up because they were doing their thing in their culture and they were doing their thing in their culture. And now things are not going as well.
It would be really interesting to see if one of these academic types would go do a study, and I'm sure there's figures out there, but I haven't seen them, about the percentage of African Americans that have gone into high positions of government and high positions in business and are actually business executives, because you see it on television more and more and more.
Mark, they're everywhere. Listen, black people are everywhere. We're doing everything.
Successful. The civil rights movement is successful.
Do you understand the problem is we still don't feel free,
yeah,
even when we're judged? And let me say this, and I believe it's come because black people have not given white people forgiveness. We have not forgiven you. Now, I believe that white people have not taken a compassionate look at the plight of what black America has had to go through. But I do know for a fact, black people have never forgiven white people for slavery, for Jim Crow, and for racism.
I'll buy the Jim Crow, the slavery, not so much.
But see, slavery was economic. Jim Crow was real dehumanizing. Slavery wasn't new. You know, servitude, slavery, that wasn't new. And remember, the only picture that we know of slavery has come from dramatizations of other people's depiction. So you really can't go by that because that's the images that we have in our mind. And we need to also know that there were white slaves and there were black slave owners at one time.
Yeah, but do you think it's because and I'm going to use your words, that let's talk about Jim Crow in particular, the fact that the politicians are continually telling them you can't forgive them because look what they did to you.
They don't want forgiveness. They don't want common unity because common unity will crush the system as we know it because they're screwing both of us at the same time.
Because you know, if you look at how and if you for white people, you look at the origins of World War II. They hated Germans. They hated Japanese, and the Japanese were in particular. And yet within 10 years. That went away.
But remember, you have to understand the threat of who African Americans have been and who we are. And what we have always been innovative. And so they put a fear and a threat. Because if you take my innovation and your organization, and that's why companies that are so diverse now are so successful. Companies that are diverse – that have different cultures and different walks of life are very, very successful, whereas companies that are very, very narrow in their hiring are less and less as successful as the others.
I have been saying for a very long time the entrepreneurial spirit in America is alive and well in the African-American community.
The problem is systems that come in. Because remember, we need to work together because we lack where other people build. Everybody's not the same. My gifting is not as good as your gifting in certain things. You think logically, I think emotionally. You take two people, you put them together, and you try to work things out, whether you hire them or you partner with them. That's just how it works, because no one is an island. The problem is, remember, sharecropping, they had to divide us by race, because if you divide them by race, you can't let these poor white people and poor black people come together, because if they do, we can't control them.
And they wanted to control them. I mean, you
and well, they still do.
Yeah, if you go, you look at the origins of the Civil War, and you got Lincoln. Lincoln didn't like African Americans,
and they still do. Mark, there is a reason why Appalachia and inner city have the same problems, and they still don't have a communication source. They do not communicate with one another. They're the same people.
Yep. Yeah, you're right.
Because if they ever came together and they found out that they have the same issues, that they're being pimped by the bureaucracy because poverty makes money.
Because you look at the white community, you look at a black woman with three kids that's on food stamps. What they don't understand is that the vast majority of women on food stamps
are white women. We'll see you guys tomorrow. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here at WHKZ, AM 1440, brought to you by Window World of Youngstown. God bless you. Have a good day and enjoy the sunshine. Thanks, Josh. The show that we couldn't get up. Thank you. Now I have it all over.